Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
With the G7 resolving to back Ukraine to the hilt, will that bear fruit on the battlefield in the light of Russia's targeting of a shopping mall that has left at least 18 civilians dead and many more injured? And could Belarus add to the embattled country's woes as Russia promises to furnish it with missiles which have a nuclear capability? For more on all of this, I'm joined now by a journalist specialising in international security and conflict reporting and human rights, founder of the Public Interest Journalism Lab, Natalia Humeniek. Good morning, Natalia.
Good morning.
Is this a new low for Russia's attacks on Ukraine, a shopping centre with 1,000 people there, families shopping for groceries?
Indeed, it feels like very devastating. I'm just in touch with my team, which is working on the ground and looking on the videos of the people who are searching for their relatives, neighbours. And it's hard to compare this attack to something else because it should be explained that this is a town where there are around 300 people, a bit less than 300,000 people living quite a big in central Ukraine, which is more or less far away from everything, which was very far away from the front line. We know that there were Russian attacks on different targets all over the country. However, still there was some logic, you know, they are closer to the border, they are closer to the front line. And this is just in the middle of the country. And indeed, it's true that after some time, Ukrainians became a bit more reluctant, especially in this area. Areas, you know, where nothing really was going on before with going to the basement. So indeed, despite of the air sirens, some people didn't go to the basement. What it explains to Ukrainians, what it signifies, that you are not safe anywhere. You can be in a shopping mall, in a totally different place, very far away from the front line, and still you might be attacked.
Putin's objective, though, to instill terror in the Ukrainian population, no matter where they are?
Yeah, I would say exactly this way. It's like the being kind of very reluctant to use loaded terms, but it's really close to the terrorist attack in the middle of the country. However, it's done by the state with the airstrikes, not with somebody exploding, bomb being on the ground, just because Russia is capable. And something to add, now there are a lot of discussion how long the war would last, what is happening on the battlefield. But what we also know that indeed the Russian airstrikes are kind of the most used way of waging the war against Ukraine. They really do not have any significant military purpose. You know, like, it doesn't mean that Russia gained something apart from terrorizing those people. They didn't gain a piece of land or, you know, another village to occupy it, or didn't destroy, you know, something, some of the Ukrainian military facilities. So, of course, we know that they are now using a way less precise old Soviet weapon, which is sounds as if they are, you know, not winning this war, but the damage is extremely big and gross for the Ukrainian population.
They may try to use this as an excuse. They say they do not target civilian locations. Clearly, this is the most normal of civilian locations, a supermarket, a shopping mall where people are doing their shopping. Has there been any official statement that has been reported in Ukraine from the Russian side?
Look, what I understand now that the Russian news don't even cover this story as if it didn't happen. But I want to be very, very, cautious about, you know, discussing what is a military target, what is a civilian target. Our team is documenting alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity. And, you know, it's still not, there are no excuse to, you know, to destroy even the, you know, a caserne where the military are sleeping, you know, if the Russia isn't threatening. And I do think sometimes Russia try to use an excuse that, for instance, they targeted some plant or some industry, but unfortunately they hit the shopping mall and, you know, that many people died. So what, just because they were not precise. You know, they are not precise too many times, very often, and still it cannot be an excuse. It's an, you know, it's an airstrike in the middle of the neighboring country with no any other purpose. And in the end, yeah, the result is clear, the terrorizing of the population wherever Ukrainians live.
It looks like there is some momentum behind Russia now, though. They have taken a number of cities, that they will turn their attention, no doubt, to Odessa in an attempt to secure the total land bridge and link up with Transnistria. It's hard to see how this war is going to end anytime soon.
Look, I don't think so. First of all, the talks about attack on Odessa are from the first day of the war. There is no any sign there anywhere close to that. We were speaking about the, you know, this attack on the Severodonetsk and the occupation of the Severodonetsk and opportunity to do that in the end of March. It taken them 4 months to overtake one city, which is important, but to be honest, they even didn't manage to occupy it. They managed to fully destroy it when there was nothing to any longer to defend there. So they're really not really waging a smart war and gaining a lot. They are able to destroy particular towns, but, you know, a gaining of one village would be already called by Russian propaganda and a huge victory. So the Ukrainian idea is very simple, to use as much time as possible and maybe gather more equipment for the counterattack, at least by winter of this year, which is, you know, easily explained by the Ukrainian military how it could be done, because the idea of the Ukrainian military is quite simple. You target the military targets, objects, the command and control center of the Russian army, and at least within by summer or at least by winter, overtake the occupied territories which were occupied after the February 24th, the, you know, this type full-scale invasion. So there is quite a clear view how that could be managed, and it's somehow possible because Russia doesn't fight any longer in the short battles. You know, they don't want to fight. What they are doing, they're basically, you know, shelling the strikes, but they are not really gaining anything military-wise.
Is there any optimism that Putin will ever face any kind of court of justice for what is clearly a campaign of war crimes?
Would it be in absentia? We don't know. But again, we now, Ukrainian General Prosecutor Office, whom I have no reasons really distrust, recorded up to 20,000 cases of the alleged crimes committed by Russia. 20,000. And talking to the different kind of human rights organization, this figure seems feasible. We working with international lawyers and looking just through the patterns from the fourth months, we can really clearly see, you know, the cases of abduction, terrorizing the population, you know, all kind of the, you know, up to 20 types of the war crimes and crimes against humanity, which are happening in different parts of the country. What is also interesting that compared to other conflicts, which were in Syria or in Chechnya, where Russians were involved, and by the way, the same people are often present in Ukraine, these crimes are happening in the plain sight. There are a lot of international organizations. There is a full-scale, you know, Ukrainian prosecutor office operating. There is an excess of international media, Ukrainian media, unprecedented to any other war in recent history. And it's recorded in the real time. So the chances that it would be well documented, and even now we can, after 4 months, we can really speak about these courts. Let's give some sign of hope. It's not like we're talking years after the war, and it's still ongoing. So the hopes are there. But of course, it can't be just one thing. There should be also the, let's say, the the reason is still to protect the Ukrainian population from the attacks like we had yesterday.
One of my listeners is saying, I'm sick of hearing propaganda from the West. Putin clearly is going to achieve his objectives. And if President Zelensky has any sense, he would capitulate in the Donbas region and hold on to the rest of Ukraine while he still can. What do you say to those kind of views?
You know, Ukraine is a democratic country. We have an elected president, an elected government, and free press, and the incredible amount of the Western media, which have their credibility, whom we, you know, there won't be way to tell it about the Western propaganda. We have documented up to 20,000 crimes committed by Russia. There is the most clear case of the foreign aggression against the Ukrainians. There are cases of rapes, tortures, detentions. So it's all way documented. If there are somebody globally who don't believe to that, that they are right, but I think that there is an incredible legitimacy to the Ukrainian state as such. We have the support of the international institutions. All the international organizations, human rights organizations, have no questions about what this war is about. So I do think, if somebody doesn't want to believe to facts, that they are right. But our task globally is to present the facts which can be fact-checked, and they are there.
Natalia, thank you very much for joining us. And Natalia Humanyuk, who's a journalist specializing in international security and conflict reporting and human rights and founder of the Public Interest Journalism Lab. All right. The war in Ukraine goes on. I hope there is no fatigue in terms of our listeners as to what's going on, because we feel we should keep on reporting on this again and again and again and highlight what is being done in the name of Vladimir Putin in Ukraine. It's important that our listeners should be fully informed.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.